We know that there's a lot more talk about GMO labeling. In fact, just in the past week, Vermont is going to become the first state to require, mandate GMO product labeling, although the law won't take effect for a couple of years, Bob. So at the meantime, a lot of dairy companies are being hit by consumer activist campaigns accusing them of hiding the fact that the cows producing the milk and the dairy products are being fed GMO grain. So against that backdrop, that's why we decided to have this panel discussion at the American Butter Institute and American Dairy Product Institute meeting last week.
Now, I should clarify that the Vermont labeling does not include dairy products, though, does it?
It does not, and it also exempts meat and poultry, products that likewise come from livestock that are likely fed GMO corn and soybeans. So really the question is, what constitutes genetically modified product? And that's, I think, one of the things that will be litigated, and everyone expects this Vermont law that's been about to be signed by the governor to go to court, and that's why they've delayed the implementation for a couple of years. But at the same time, you can't expect that this is not going to be held off forever. So I think really the discussion was about how the industry should try to get out from beyond just the regulatory legal standpoint and do a more effective job of trying to assuage the concerns of at least some of the consumers who express opposition to this. You're never going to satisfy everyone, but I think that the more information that can be shared about how the consumers and the public and society benefits from GMO grains, that's going to help move the ball down the field.
Which is kind of what Peter Janssen of Land O'Lakes talked about, is you have to show the benefit to the consumer, not to the producer.
And, you know, you think we would have learned this in the dairy industry 20 years ago when not only were GMO grains first introduced, but we've been through this here with Posilac, where it was another controversial technology. Most of the benefits accrued to the farmer because his cows or her cows were more productive, but there really wasn't necessarily any type of a noticeable benefit to the average consumer. And for that reason, and for just some other political reasons, Posilac was targeted, and it's been under fire ever since. And I think the same thing now really happening with the GMO grain issue as well. I think that there are a number of benefits we can talk about in terms of environment, the use of less fuel, less pesticides, different more benign types of pesticides, the ability to grow more grain on the same amount of ground, which is important when you're trying to feed more people. But just saying that all this does is make the farmer more efficient, well, that's not a winning message, because most consumers just don't care that much about the plight of the individual farmer.
Were there suggestions as to how we go about winning the consumer, showing the advantages to them?
Yeah. Well, for one thing, I think you've got to have farmers talking about this in ways that the public can pick up on. And I think the industry, through a number of platforms, including things like the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance, we've been doing a better job with that. I think some of the branded companies, some of which were represented there on the panel, need to do a better job of communicating to people, or at least making the information known. I don't think anyone thinks that labeling, at least mandatory labeling, is the answer. We do support voluntary labeling, so that if there is a brand or if there's a retailer or a restaurant that wants to do labeling or point of purchase information, well, that's all fine and good. I don't think that's the role of the federal government, though, to tell companies that. But the bottom line is that we've got a lot more ways of sharing information than what we had 20 years ago, when there was no internet, when there were no cell phones, when there was no Facebook. That was the Stone Ages in terms of trying to communicate to shoppers about what's in their foods and their consumer products. We've come a long way since then. We ought to be doing more along those lines.
In talking with one of the Vermont state senators who was behind their labeling bill, his feeling was that if you listed in the ingredients that it may contain GMO materials, they didn't feel there would be a big consumer pushback on that. The thoughts of the dairy industry on that?
Again, I think that for dairy, there's a good reason you would exempt us, because there are no GMO materials in milk if it comes from a genetically modified corn plant or soybeans or sugar beets. I think the question would be, if you have a sugar that's produced from a GMO sugar beet or from high fructose corn syrup, a flavored milk, ice cream or yogurt, would those things have to be labeled? I'm not even certain what Vermont's law says about that, because technically speaking, the only modified things are the proteins, not the carbohydrates, not the sugars that are in those sweetened products. So I think that's one of the reasons why we have concerns, is that there's really a lot of arbitrary enforcement and arbitrary rules when you say you're going to label GMO products or GMO processes. It leaves out huge categories like meat and dairy, and then may also include some things that really don't have anything that where you could test for the presence of GMO ingredients.
Where to from here for the industry?
Well, I think what the industry, as well as some people are trying to do out there, is to pass a federal law that lays out uniform standards for how to go about doing voluntary labeling. There's no reason to do mandatory labeling at the state level, like what Vermont's trying to do, or at the national level, but I do think it would help clear up this patchwork quilt, this Tower of Babel, in terms of state-by-state enforcement if you have a national system. Whether we can get that done, though, in this Congress, I think is still a question to be answered.
There is no doubt that there is a movement out there that would like to eliminate all genetically modified crops, products, etc. Are they a big enough force that they can override what you guys would like to accomplish?
Not unless you starve most of Americans, let alone the other 7 billion people on the planet. I mean, the fact is that for a lot of these groups that are protesting GMO ingredients, there are only alternatives to say go organic. Well, there's not enough organic food grown in this country to feed 10% of the population, let alone all 310 million of us. So if that's their solution, even over the long term, that's not a practical one. You'd have to grow a lot of expensive, scarce food and do it with expensive, scarce ingredients like land and water and oil to get the job done. So that's not a solution. I think that a lot of this is just trying to more competitively advantage organic foods and help them break out of the niche that they're in. But at the end of the day, I think, as you said earlier, for most people, as long as they have assurances that the foods are safe, which certainly GMO foods are, then that really is the beginning and the end of the discussion.